Well, tonight we're going to continue our steadfast series. And we've been looking at a lot of ways that we can be steadfast in life. And Pastor Rob, for the last 3 weeks, has been teaching on being steadfast in prayer. And he's had some phenomenal teaching around the whole topic of prayer. And can I encourage you, if you have missed any of those weeks, do yourself a favor. You can get some at the iConnect desk, sign up for a CD there. You can do it on the website or on our iTunes account as well. So make sure you get a hold of those teachings on being steadfast in prayer. And as Hattie mentioned, and in Bayside News, Pastor Rob and Christy are over in Bali at the moment ministering over there. And I believe that right now, Pastor Rob and Christy may be tuning in via live stream, which is exciting. So they're here with us in spirit tonight. So I think what we need to do is all together shout out, "Hi, Pastor Rob and Christy." Now, we're going to have to shout it because Bali is a long way from here. But if you are watching via live stream tonight, we as a congregation are going to welcome you to church tonight as well, Pastor Rob and Christy. So you ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Fantastic. I reckon they heard you. We hope you're blessed over there, and we know you're doing a fantastic job in everything that you are doing ministry-wise over there. Well, tonight we are going to continue our series, and we're talking about being steadfast in unity. Steadfast in unity. So if you've got your Bibles with you, how about we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 1. There we go. It's a very well-known piece of scripture. I'm sure a lot of you will have read this probably numerous times. Acts chapter 2, and we'll read from verses 1 to verse 4. Are we there? Fantastic. So verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly," I love how verse 2 starts, "suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit," hallelujah, "and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." To me, that really is the Holy Spirit smackdown of the Acts Church, of the New Testament. It's where the Holy Spirit, whoo, comes down. I love how verse 2 starts. It says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, and the Holy Spirit comes in His power and His majesty. But you see, I really believe that the power of the Holy Spirit actually starts in verse 1, not just in verse 2. Let's have a look at verse 1 again in your notes. I've put it in the New King James Version in your notes. And it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they," the believers, "were all together with one accord and in one place." The believers were all together in one place with one accord. Now, to me, that speaks unity. To me, that speaks that the believers were steadfast in unity. They were all together in one place with one accord. That's verse 1. Then, verse 2, whew, suddenly a sound and the Holy Spirit comes. But you see, I believe that it starts here in verse 1, the unity that is established, the foundation that is established. And I really believe that this unity is almost like a conduit for the Holy Spirit to then flow. Steadfast in unity. The word there, one accord, I looked up the word in the original Greek, and it's this word homothumadon. And in your notes, and it's an expressive word that signifies that all the believers' minds, all of their affections, all their desires and wishes were concentrated on one object. They had but one prayer to God, and every heart uttered it. In each of its occurrences, this word, it signifies harmony that leads to action. It's a powerful word, homothumadon. And in some of your Bible translations, instead of using the words one accord, some translations actually say one heart. You see, the believers had one heart. And this whole thing of verse one, this one accord, this one heart that we are talking about goes far deeper than all the believers coming together and, you know, kind of holding hands and being all warm and fuzzy and happy clappy. And that's all good, but it actually goes a lot deeper than that. It even goes deeper than having a unified community expression. It goes deeper than that. It's all about having one heart. You see, the believers were steadfast in unity. And we see what the result was in verse 2 when the Holy Spirit comes. I want to make note tonight that unity is not uniformity. We're going to make sure we realize that unity is not uniformity. You see, God creates individuals. He creates us all to be unique. God is not into making clones. Amen? God is not in the cookie cutter business. No, He makes every single one of us unique. Now, for those of us who may have done some travel, especially through countries in Southeast Asia, you might have come across this phrase, and I really like it. The phrase is, same, same, but different. Has anyone heard that phrase? Yeah, a lot of us have heard that. Same, same, but different. And you know, I actually think that applies to us. You see, on the outside, we are all same, same, because we are all human beings, hopefully. But you see, it goes further than that, because we are same, same, but we are different. God created every single one of us uniquely. Just for a moment, have a look at your hand. Have a look at the fingerprints on your fingers. Isn't it incredible to think that there is not one person out of the billions of people that live on this planet that have the same fingerprints as you? You see, God is not into the business of making clones. He makes unique individuals. A couple of years ago, I was traveling through Vietnam on a holiday, and I love the country. I love Vietnam, and I love going to some of their markets, their stalls, and just the atmosphere, the hustle bustle. It's just flat out, and I love going there just to experience what it's like in their markets over there. And this one day, I wanted to buy a watch. Now, I can't actually remember the make of the watch, but let's just say it was a Rolex. Okay, it was something similar to that. So, I pick out this watch that I really like, and I bring it up to the vendor, and we start the bartering process. I actually quite like that. It's a bit of a game. I wish we had it here in Australia. But so we start bartering, and I say to the guy, I give him the watch, and I say, "Is this a real Rolex?" And with a very straight face, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Same, same, but different." I like that. I like the guy. We got on really well. And I said, "No, hang on a minute. Is this a genuine Rolex? Do you understand me? Is this genuine Rolex?" Of course I knew it wasn't, but I like the game. I said, "Is this genuine Rolex?" And he straight face, "Yes, sir, yes, sir. Genuine, genuine, genuine fake." I said, "Fantastic. At least I know I'm buying a genuine fake instead of just a fake fake. There's nothing worse than buying a fake fake." So that vendor made a sale on a watch that day. And the good news for me was it actually lasted probably a couple of months before it broke. So I feel like I won. But unity is not uniformity. We are same, same, but we are different. Amen? You see, unity is all about embracing diversity. Embracing diversity. In your notes, I put a scripture reference to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. And it says this, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts." That's the diversity right there, many parts. "And though all its parts are many, they form one body." That speaks unity. And so it is with Christ. And I want to say to us all tonight, church, that the body of Christ needs you. God created you specifically with your unique personality, your unique giftings, your unique diversity. We need you just as you are. Never be ashamed of how God has created you. Don't try to be the person next to you. Be true to you, because God destined and purposed you to just be you. But to create this one accord or this one heart that we've been talking about, this homothumadon, we do, however, have to bring this diversity down to a singleness or down to a oneness. And that's where the unity can flow. To give you an example of this, as most of you know, Camille and I got married towards the end of last year. And we're actually coming up towards our first year wedding anniversary. How's that? Doesn't time fly when you're having fun? In a couple of weekends, we'll be celebrating our first wedding anniversary. And over the year, for those of you who are married, you realize that when you start living with someone else, that you really have to put this into practice, that we both bring diversity into a relationship, and we have to somehow, in the diversity of that, work out how to bring a singleness or a oneness to maintain unity in our marriage. Amen. So one thing that has become fairly evident through winter, especially this year, is that we are diverse, Camille and I, in this specific area, and that is how our internal body thermostats are wired. You see, Camille feels the cold extremely much. Amen from the front row. So much so that when Camille comes home from wherever she's been, the very first thing she does when she gets home is flicks on the heater. And before we know it, within a couple of minutes, the house is roasting and I'm just trying to shed off layers. And all the ladies say, amen. Amen. Bless you, ladies. We love you. But you see, my body thermostat is set to a different degree. See, I don't actually need to flick the heater on as soon as I come home. And when the house starts to heat up, I'm just sweating in the place. And all the guys say, amen. So we've got a problem. We've got diversity in our marriage. So what do we do about this? Well, it's quite a simple answer. We flick the heater on. Amen. Amen. I love you. You see, husbands, let me speak to husbands for a second. Have a look at Ephesians 5, verse 25 when you get home, because it says, husbands, love your wife. Amen? So we bring, now we're just having a bit of fun with it tonight, but it's true, in all aspects of marriage, you really have to work on this diversity and bring it into a singleness or a oneness to establish that unity in your marriage. Now, making fun of Camille tonight, she's actually not that bad, but it is true. If you want to come around to our house, it'll be nice and warm and cozy, and it's lovely. Why are you laughing? Well, we're bringing diversity into a singleness, and that's how unity prevails in any situation. If you've got your Bibles, once again, let's turn to one more piece of scripture tonight, and that's Psalm 133. This is an amazing, amazing psalm. It's only three verses long, but boy, do they pack a punch. Psalm 133. We see that it actually starts with a statement and finishes with a declaration. Let's read that together. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows, or it literally means commands, his blessing. Amen. Life, even life forevermore. You see, the key to this psalm is unity. The key to this psalm is unity, and the result is blessing. We all love the blessing, but the key is unity. See, verse 1, unity is established. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. Let's not underestimate the power that exists when this unity is established. Verse 2 goes on to say, it is like precious oil poured on the head. Now, let's just spend a moment looking at that. What does that even mean? You see, when oil is referenced like this in the scriptures, it means two things. The first thing the oil represents is the anointing. When someone's covered in oil, they are anointed. That is the enablement and the empowerment to do the will of God. The second thing this oil refers to is joy. That is the enthusiasm to continue in the purposes of God. So the anointing and the joy is released when the oil is poured. Now, the other thing we need to know about this oil is that as someone is being poured on their head and getting anointed, the oil is aromatic, which means it smells good. So when the person is being anointed with this oil poured down their head, and as it says, running all over them, it's actually releasing this amazing smell, this beautiful aroma is being released. And you see, putting it into context to what we are actually talking about tonight, unity releases a beautiful aroma. Unity actually smells good. Have you ever been in a situation where you walk into a place? It might be someone's home, it might be a church, it might even be like a sporting club, a sporting team, something like that. And you just know that unity resides in that place. Why? Because the place just smells good spiritually. There's just something different. There's just something nice about the place. And that is because unity is flowing through there. We go on to read verse 3. It says, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Now, what does that actually mean? We've got two mountains here. Let me just try to explain that and put it into some context for us tonight. You see, Hermon was this big mountain. Big mountain. Picture a big mountain. And then in comparison, Mount Zion was this small little hill. Okay, so you got Hermon, this big mountain, and then Zion, this small little hill in comparison. And this is as if the dew of Hermon. So what's happening here? Just picture a big mountain and just think in your mind the amount of dew that will fall overnight on this big mountain. Then picture that same amount of dew being saturating this small little hill, this Mount Zion. So what God is actually saying to us in this passage is to take the abundance of Hermon and saturate us with it. I'm going to say that again. God wants to take the abundance of Hermon and saturate us with that abundance. You see, God wants to bring a blessing into our lives that is actually bigger than we expect. God is a God of blessing, and he wants to take this abundance and then saturate us with that blessing. How good is our God? How good is our God? And then the verse finishes off by saying, for there the Lord commands. So the there means once this unity has been established. Once the unity has been established, then the Lord commands his blessing. Give you an example of this. I'm so passionate and fired up about what is happening in our pre-service prayer meetings at the moment. We're meeting here at 5:30 before the service on a Saturday night, 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and 10 o'clock at our Frankston campus as well. And tonight we had probably 40, 50, 60, I'm not sure how many people were down here tonight. But what we are actually doing there is what we've been talking about in verse 1. You see, we are establishing unity in these pre-service prayer meetings. You see, all the people It might remind you of a verse. All the people gathering in one place with one accord, and then we go into the service. See, what God is doing is as we make this foundation of unity in our pre-service prayer meetings, then we walk into the service and the blessings of God are starting to flow. And I believe we're only scratching the surface. I believe God wants to pour out and pour out and pour out and pour out and pour out so much more blessing, like this Hermon, the abundance, and then showering us with blessing in our services. But I believe we can do our part by coming to the pre-service prayer meeting, joining with the unity, the undercurrent, the stirring that is happening, and then be ready for the blessings of God. Amen. Acts chapter 2, all the believers were steadfast in unity, and then suddenly the blessing of God came. So unity commands God's blessing. And you know, you can really apply this principle to all aspects of your life. We've talked about marriage and the importance of applying that to your marriage. You can apply it to your family. I came across this quote that I like from Rudyard Kipling, and he says, talking about wolves, he says, for the strength of the pack or the family is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack. I like that. It speaks of this family unity producing strength. You can apply it to your work situation. And I just want to mention as well, I can understand that sometimes actually establishing unity in a workplace can be difficult, especially if your boss is the problem, if your boss is very difficult and he is actually causing the disunity to occur in the place. But I really believe that we as Christians need to make a choice, need to make a stand that we are actually not going to join in with the disunity that is taking place. We choose to not add to the disunity. Hey, we may not be able to make unity abound, but we can choose to not add to the disunity that's taking place. In your notes, have a look at Romans 12 and verse 18. It says, for if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. What that says is choose to do your bit to positively help the situation. You know, choose unity where possible. And if it's not possible, make sure you don't add to the disunity that's already there. We can apply this principle of unity commanding God's blessing over our life here at church as well. And I mentioned earlier that every single one of you is so important to what is happening here at Bayside. We need the diversity, the uniqueness of us as individuals. But in your notes, unity in a church doesn't mean that we all agree on something or everything. It doesn't mean that we're all the same. It means that we work through the issues. We choose to love each other. That's what Pastor Rob was talking about last week. Love each other despite our differences, and we focus on the things that we have in common. We are redeemed by the same Savior. Amen. We serve the same Master. We cherish the same hope. We're looking forward to the same heaven. We're subject to the same trials, temptations, and sorrows. And we have the same comfort, and we are focused in the same direction. That is unity here at Bayside Church. And just to finish up tonight, I might get Jordan to come up. I just want to share something that I'm really excited about and really passionate about, and that is the unity that is stirring across our city here in Melbourne. I was born in Melbourne, bred in Melbourne, I love Melbourne, it's my hometown, and I'm excited about what God is doing through His church here in Melbourne. And I really want to commend our pastors, Pastor Rob and Pastor Christy, for the front foot approach that they have taken to join with other churches around our city. Pastor Rob has mentioned on many occasions that Pastor Rob and Christy, they've both been meeting with some other pastors and leaders of Melbourne and getting together and sharing a meal together. They've been sharing stories and they've been praying for our city. And let me tell you, something is starting to stir in the area of unity here in Melbourne. Camille and I have been blessed to catch up on fairly regular occasions this year with some of the other young adult pastors from around Melbourne, and we're doing the same stuff. We're doing life together. We're talking about stuff. We're sharing stories. We're praying together for each other. We're praying for Melbourne. We're worshiping together. And we walk away, Camille and I, just thinking, you know what, God? Something exciting is about to break over our city, and it's got to do with unity. In the same regard, I've been meeting up with some worship leaders, worship pastors, creative directors, etc., from around Melbourne as well. And can I tell you, something is going to happen through worship over our city. God is doing something. It's like I can't really articulate it just yet. It's like this stirring, this undercurrent that is happening. Worship is going to go to a whole new level in our city. Church, I believe that we are living in verse 1 days. All the believers coming together in one place with one accord. And then, church, we got to be ready for the verse 2, the suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a mighty wind. The Holy Spirit is going to come, I believe, in such a fresh and powerful way to our city here in Melbourne. Amen. Amen. You see, even next year, we're already in the planning process of some of the main churches getting together, and we're going to hold an event next year where we're calling all of the churches of Melbourne to come together, to fellowship, to worship, to hear the word. And then there's going to be massive ripple effects after that. This is just the beginning. God is not done with Melbourne. God loves Melbourne, and God wants to pour out His blessing on this city. And as you can tell, I'm extremely passionate and excited about this. So what do we do? What do we do? I really believe that our responsibility in this area is to do what we can to establish unity in the body of Christ. You see, in your notes, I'm just going to finish with this. As we focus on doing our part, what's our part? Our part is to be steadfast in unity. As we focus on doing our part, we then allow God to do His part. You see, it's God's part to bring the blessing. We don't bring the blessing. We establish the unity. We believe that God will bring the blessing. Amen? Unity commands God's blessing. If you believe it, say amen. Awesome. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the time that we've been able to spend in Your presence tonight. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that You have spoken to every single one of us in a unique way that we can really get what You want to speak to us personally tonight. Lord, we thank You that we're reminded that unity is not uniformity, that You have created us to be unique. We are not clones. Lord, we thank You that unity is about embracing diversity and bringing that diversity into a singleness. And Lord, I thank You that unity commands Your blessing. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I just release unity over our church. Every single Bayside, we release unity into their lives. Every facet of their life, we release unity in Your name, Lord Jesus. And Father, we release unity over our amazing city here in Melbourne. We thank You. We're excited. We want to praise You for everything that You are doing and continue to do in our lives, in and through us, Lord God. We give You the praise. We give You the praise. And just whilst every head is bowed and eyes closed, I just want to give opportunity tonight. I know a lot of you here. I don't know every single person. And I want to give an opportunity to you if through the worship tonight, through the time of communion, through the word that has been spoken, if you just need to come into a relationship with God, if you were to be honest, you would say, you know what, I really don't know God personally. That can change in an instant. And if you know, you know, you know, you know that you want to and you have to come into a relationship with God tonight, you can do that right now. I'm not going to embarrass you or get you to do anything weird. All I'll get you to do whilst no one is looking around is just quickly slip up your hand, and once I've seen it, you can pop it back down again. We're not going to labor this tonight, but if there is anyone here tonight that just knows that they need to give their life to God, they need to start a relationship with our living God, just lift up your hand right now. Right now. Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for the journey that every single one of us is on. Lord, I trust that everyone here tonight does have a personal relationship with you. But if not, Lord, I pray that through you speaking to them tonight, that they have been able to step one step closer to coming to know you, to know of your love, to know of your grace, your mercy, and your faithfulness towards them. So, Father, we just thank you for everything that you have done in us tonight and through us as we go into the week this week. We want to give you all the praise, give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Fantastic. Well,